And looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Now, we're not going to get through all that here tonight, but we'll get started on it. And the question is asked, how much does God love us? And, I don't know, some of you probably remember the little kids chorus. Deep and wide. He loves us this much. So, but there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it begins by saying, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So the challenge here to love one another. That's something that the people are going to notice in our lives. It's something the world's looking for. And as the author here mentioned, there's a lot of songs out there that talk about love. It's responding to a basic human need. Let's see, how does he... secular music, I guess how he describes it, okay? And depending on your age, whether you remember some of these or not, but Love Me Tender, What the World Needs Now, and the groovy kind of love, I'll spare you from singing those. But yeah, it's a need that people have. Now, he says something here that I guess I hadn't thought about it before so much, but he said, every human being needs three things to be happy. And to be loved, and to love someone, and to have a purpose. Now, those three things are good, but I'm thinking, okay, I like to watch some of those TV programs where they're in Alaska, and they're 100 miles from the Arctic Circle, and there's nobody around. Those planes have to fly over and drop stuff in. There's no roads, nothing. Well, he could, maybe there's letters in there. Maybe they're writing back and forth to people, somebody that they love and somebody that loves them, and a purpose, survive the winter, catch... trap lots of animals or whatever. There's probably a little bit more to it than that. And we could make a study of, happiness. Is that our main responsibility or goal in life, is to be happy? Is that what God wants out of us? Just happy, happy, happy all the time. there's a song about that too, isn't there? Okay, but he says there in the Gospel of John, John talks a lot about love, okay? But he says in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, so God wants us to have an abundant life, not just a beggar kind of life. You just kind of hanging on by the skin of your teeth or your fingernails or whatever. You just somehow surviving out there. God wants us to be able to enjoy life. And a part of that is going to include love. But more than just the secular side of things, he's talking about the fact that seems to be one attribute that people know about God. They may not know an awful lot about God because they don't know much about the Bible, but they got the idea that God is love, and that much is right. Now, that doesn't discount the fact that God is holy and that he's just. There's a lot of different things. Oh, well, God's love, he would never send anybody to hell. We're all going to get there, that's not what the Bible teaches. And thing is, Is there anything particular about us that catches God's fancy, that causes him to want to love us? From the looks of it, where's our prayer sheet? It's smaller than it used to be. Looks like we're kind of a needy people. We're always needing something. Do you ever have people like that, that the only time they call you is when they need something? You know, and you see who's calling it. Oh boy, I wonder what they want this time. And, well, you know, God could look at us and just say, you know, you guys are an awful lot of work. And, you know, with our kids, you know, they're pretty helpless coming into this world. But after a while, you know, they're able to take care of themselves a little bit. They can dress themselves. They may or may not have matching socks or whatever, but they can get most of the clothes on, and they can even pour out some cereal, splash a little extra milk in there, and do some of that stuff, okay? But for a lifetime, our needs change from the cradle to the grave, but we're pretty needy on both ends. And yet God still loves us. And there's not something particular about us, that of our behavior, that he's attracted to. It tells us there in Romans 8, where it tells us that God loved us while we were yet sinners. And so he didn't wait for us to turn over new leaf, you know, comes New Year's around, and we're going to get rid of all our bad habits, and we're just going to be the good guys from that point on. And once we become kind of cleaned up, that he loves us. Now, he doesn't love our sin, but he loves us. And it's probably like parents. You love your kids. You may not necessarily love all of their habits, but you love them as individuals. And that's what God is. And the thing is, that quality of God, he wants to be in us. And there's no expiration date on it. Now that the kids aren't there as much, we're not going through as much milk and some of these things, and so I will check the date, you know, to make sure what I'm... Anybody else have dressing that seems to expire? Or maybe go through it before it gets old, but, you know, we got a little place in our basement where we stack canned goods, you know, and something will get in the back, pull that thing out. Oh, I don't know if I should eat that or not. You know, can you eat salmon that said 2018 or something? I don't know. Maybe not. Let's play it safe. I don't like being sick. So it's not worth a dollar or two or whatever, you know. But here he says in Jeremiah 31:3, "Yeah, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee." Okay, so he has an everlasting love. We're not going to wear God out, you know, that he's just going to say, "Give me a break, will you?" You know, no, he keeps on loving us. And thing is, he's never going to change. We're never going to... I like that one, the fact that God's always the same. You meet people like that, they're just kind of steady. They may not always be wee up here, or they're not woo down here somewhere. Pretty much same. Some people, you're not quite sure which one you're going to get. One time they might be wee, and next time they're in the basement, you know. And it's like, okay. But God's the same. And the thing is, seemed like it said that in the lesson there somewhere. He talks about, we don't have to catch God when he's in good mood. Did you ever have to do that with your mom or your dad? You know, my mom was the one that kind of clued me in. Don't ask now. This is not a good time. You know, if you want something, if you need money, don't ask now. Wait later. Wait till tomorrow morning or something. You know? And so we don't have to, you know, try to time it. You know, they talk about timing the markets, you know, when to get in the market or get out or whatever. We don't have to catch God, you know, when he's in a good mood. You know, because sometimes people are just, it seems like, kind of crazy. Larry mentioned something about, do we have a full moon? You know, I mean, really? My daughter's a teacher, and teachers know, I don't know what it is, it's not werewolf stuff, but kids act up when it's a full moon. You know, it's like, oh boy, hang on, it's going to be a rough couple days here. Well, the thing is, he points out the first thing, one of the things that about is that he loves us too much not to change us. Okay, he loves us, but yet there's probably some tweaking there that needs to take place. I was thinking of the things that we want to change. Okay, we start out with a little baby. Okay, and you got to change them, don't they? more than one way. Okay, and as a child, as they begin to grow up. There are certain things that they need to change. Maybe it's something about their behavior. No, you can't be picking on your little brother or sister all the time. No, you can't be, you got to stop being mean. You know, there's things you got to change here. And you want to teach them as they're growing up. Some of you have had to do a little bit of this home teaching, you know, and they need to learn. And they talk about some of our high school kids. You know, they graduate, you know, they get a piece of paper, but they may or may not be able to read what's on it. You know, it's pretty sad. But they need to learn to be able to function in society, to be able to read, to learn how to write, not just putting an X thereby on the line, to do math, to know if the... Don't you love the way they give change back nowadays? You know, that machine tells them how much to give back. If that machine doesn't work, they don't know how to count the money back. Just, you know, here's the coins and the dollars, and I just kind of hand it back to you. You know? I mean, it works in a foreign country when you don't know how much stuff is, and you're just kind of hoping they're not ripping you off. But I still kind of like that. Okay, we'll give them a $20 bill. Okay, here's a... You know, so much change. Okay, here's 10, and 10 is 20. You know, they can't do that. You know, it's for one thing, they hit the button and the change falls out in the little cup and you grab it. Yeah, well, anyway, God loves us enough that He wants to change us. Okay, and I had to almost laugh here as He's talking about, you know, the different kinds of love. And he says, I love my Harley, okay? And I love my wife, but it's not the same. Someday I might sell my Harley, but I'm never going to, you know, basically put my wife up for sale. I'm going to, you know, she's a keeper. But the scripture, you know, the Bible does give us some insight into this. And the thing is, in English, it's not as an exact language as what the Greek language was. The Greeks had... three different kinds, or at least three different kinds of love, and not all of them are in Scripture. The one that's eros is the word has the kind of the sexual connotations to it, sexual passions, you know. And as he says here, I will love you because you give me pleasure. If you stop giving me pleasure, I stop loving you. All right. The other one's phileo. Okay, and that's kind of the brother-sister kind of love. Okay, you love one another. And then there's the, you know, the cream of the crop, the top kind of love. And that's the kind God has, is the agape love. And that's the kind of God, or kind of love that God has towards us. Now, he describes it as a selfless love. And for the most unlovable. Okay? I hadn't thought about it that way before. But that would apply, you know, and that enabled Christ to love those that seemingly nobody else loved. You know, he was able to love the deaf, the blind, the lepers, you know, that everybody else stayed 6 foot wasn't enough. They're on the other side of the road, okay? And yet God demonstrates love towards us. The definition that I learned from this, and it's kind of ingrained in my head, is seeking the other person's highest good without expecting anything in return. Okay? So I'm going to do what's best for you, regardless of it, if there's anything ever coming back to me. And I've used that, the example of, you know, I'm not going to love Tyler, to be kind to him, but and to get on his good side because next week I want to move a piano and I want him to come and help me. You know, that's the strings attached stuff. Okay, God loves us with no strings attached. There's nothing in it. I mean, what can we give God anyway, other than our love and our worship? But it isn't like something we're going to do for God to help him out. But he says this is the kind of love that's talked about there in John 3:16. God so loved the world, again, the people of this world. And that's the kind of love that he wants us to have towards others. That's the kind of love that he wants us to demonstrate towards others. And yet he's saying the only way that you can do that is that you have to be born again. You have to be one of God's children in order to love that way, okay? And to do it consistently, habitually. What is it, like the tulip? You know, she loves me not, loves me. You know, or like a light switch. You know, it's kind of like maybe we did with as he talked about. As long as you're doing stuff that pleases me, I love you. When you do things that displease me, I'm going to stop loving you. You know, and I cringe, and I guess I don't know how much I've heard of, but I've read of people that will say something to their kids. The kids do something they don't like. You better stop that, or I'll quit loving you. Oh, don't ever say that to your kid. You know? Can you imagine if God said that to us? Got a letter in the mail from God. You disgust me. Your habits are atrocious. I've had it. Strike three, you're out. I'm not going to love you no more. Ooh. You know, and we don't want God to do that to us, and he's our heavenly Father. Surely he doesn't want us as earthly fathers or mothers to do that to our own children. And he goes on to say there in verse 8, he that loveth not or doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. And you think about that. Wow. You know, that's almost like saying, if you don't love, you're not saved. You don't know God. Would we want to use that as a measuring stick? Are we always lovable? Do we always love people as we ought to? Maybe we know what we're supposed to do? I was going to look that verse up, and I can't find it. Or I don't know if I fumbled around a little bit. And I was thinking about this, and I'm not trying to worm my way out of that. But the Bible also talks about to be at peace with others, and I'm butchering it up here, as much as possible, as much as lieth within you, okay? live peaceably with all people, kind of. Well, there are some people that they're just not peaceable. You know, that wherever they go, there's going to be trouble. And you can do everything that you feel is right and true and everything else, and they're still going to be ticked off at you about something, you know. And you just met people that just seem like they're always mad. Now, you know, I don't know what's causing that. Maybe they're in physical pain that just caused them to be going, ugh, you know, and you take it out on everybody else. I don't know. But he's saying as much as it's up to you, live at peace with others. So you do the best you can to live peacefully with others. That doesn't always mean it's going to be a peaceful situation, okay? Because it takes two to make peace. But he's saying, okay, I think the same kind of thing is going on here. As much as you are capable of, with God's help, love others. Does that mean everybody's going to love you back? No. It's kind of like what, you know, you sometimes think the most loving thing that you could do for somebody would be to share the gospel with them so they can spend eternity with the Lord. Does everybody thank you and give you a hug? Well, back when you could do that. When you get done, I'm so glad you told me that I'm a sinner. Nobody's told me that before, and I needed to know that. And I'm going to go to hell if I don't do something about it. Okay? No, not everybody's always appreciative. You can, again, do things to try to do what's best, but it's not always going to be appreciated. Does everybody appreciate God's love? No. There's some people out there that are shaking their scrawny little fist, blaming, you know, I think Trump gets in trouble, you know, whatever, everything, where's it at? Hebrews?
It's Romans 12, 18.
Romans 12, 18, okay. All right, write that down. You want to read it for us?
Well, this is a international version, but it's if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Okay. Now, I realize peace and love are not the same thing. Although, back in the hippies days, remember? Peace, love. Now they do that, and I'm not sure what it means. You know, sometimes you don't want to ask. Jesus was loving and kind towards people in his day, and yet some of them wanted to shove him off a cliff. Not everybody's going to love you back. But I guess this is kind of what I'm thinking, how I look at it. And I think, okay, what's the best thing I can do for this individual? How can I demonstrate my love towards him? May or may not be appreciated. But we have to do our part. We don't have any control over how other people respond to us, right? All we can do is do the right thing and leave it with the Lord. I know you have a shining personality there. Maybe the morning's probably going, turn the lights down. Like I said, I'm not trying to weasel out of loving one another. I'm saying sometimes it's a challenge, okay? And yet he says here, a person who does not love other people doesn't know God. Okay? And so that might be a weak spot in our lives. You know, are we loving people as we ought? And he describes it, you know, in the Greek, he says it's in the aorist tense. To know with God indicates a person not only doesn't know God, but never has known God. Well, I've learned it's something that takes place right now, but it has abiding results, has consequences down the road. But And so there are things, though, that really would cancel out love. You know, that would be unloving. He's, you know, just coming to Sunday school, just coming to church, that in and of itself is good, but it doesn't cancel out other things that we might do. He says if we habitually gossip, we're harbor bitterness, we take advantage of people. He says they're not Christian, okay? So we can't, you know, try to act like a Christian on one hand and then we cancel it all out on the other, you know? Thing is, there isn't a kind of sort of Christian. We either are or we're not. And if we are, then we ought to act like it, okay? Let's say it's always going to be easy or it's always going to be fun. Okay, here's Jesus on the cross. They've just pounded nails in his hands and his feet, and they've beaten him, and he's up there in agony. And he could have said, Father, strike them all dead. Toast them. Crispy critters. Be done with them. But instead he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know? And I guess that's something we can pray for and ask the Lord to help us to be loving. Now, are we always going to pass the test? I don't know about you. And I can pray, Lord, help me be loving, you know, and it doesn't always come out right, okay? Something comes along that just kind of hits my hot buttons, you know? I guess I got, Lord, can you disconnect my hot buttons? Anybody else have hot buttons? Things that just kind of set you off, doesn't take an awful lot. Lord, disconnect those buttons so that so I don't get all trip my trigger, get all wound up about something, you know? Because I'm supposed to love that person. Maureen goes to the doctor today. And I think, okay, because she's going to have her eyes dilated. Yeah, she could probably drive home, but I'd feel better if I was driving her home. So dropped her off, come back in. And I'm driving along through West Allis. It's on one of these numbered streets on the corner, and I can't remember exactly which one it is. And so I'm kind of driving slow, and yet there's cars ahead of me. You can only get a half a block if I sped up. And the guy behind me, you know. Love him was not the first thing I wanted to do. I'm not going to do it, but you get a stoplight and go back and say, how fast did you want me to go? You know, I probably can't in this car. Peel the wheels, you know, and I can go 30 foot really, really fast. Will that help you out? You know, we're still going to get stopped at the next street for a light. So, okay, so anyway, the Lord's the same. We're not. We have moods. We have good moods. We have bad moods. And yet we can't use that as an excuse. You know, well, you've heard it. People have short tempers. So what's the cause of that? I'm saying, what are the excuses that people use for that?
Maybe we'll say they inherited
it. Okay, we inherited it. Our parents were that way, so we kind of picked, and there might be some of that, you know, it's learned behavior, you know, we grew up that way, all right. I guess I'm thinking of, I'm Irish, or, you know, and usually it isn't the person saying that, but some of, well, they've got red hair, you know, so they get mad quicker, or they're German, or they're there's a whole lot of nationalities out there that, you know, supposedly gives you that pass, that excuse to act differently than maybe that we're supposed to. But, you know, I'm guessing when we get to the judgment seat of Christ and we've struggled with our temper and we say, Lord, I'm Irish. Do you think it's going to cut it? I don't think it's going to fly. And he's going to say, well, I'm Jewish, so what? yeah, okay. So, anyway, the Lord doesn't change. He's the same all the time. And that's a good thing. But I think he wants us to be kind of that way too. We got a consistent Christian testimony. It's not just who we're with that makes the difference. You know, how we talk, how we act, react. You know, that we act, you know, if we're with our family, we can act one way. If we're in church, you know, we got to act differently. And so, yeah, I think some leveling out. Okay. I'm trying to think of the medical term. Is it manic, depressive?
Yeah.
Where you can be down manic, yeah.
Bipolar.
Yeah, yeah, highs and lows. And so they give you some medication to kind of take out some of the humps and kind of level you out a little bit. Well, I don't know if God wants us all on prescriptions, but I think he does want to change us. He loves us enough to want to change us. Face it, we are a work in progress. Some of you have hobbies, or you got projects. Guess what? We're his project. Okay? And maybe he works. Sometimes you do that and you work on it a while and then it sets there for a little while. Okay? And then you, you know, maybe days, weeks, months, come back to it. We're going to work on it some more. Right? And that, I don't know exactly how God does that, but we're an ongoing work. Right? And he's going to do work on different areas of our lives. And the thing is, he doesn't want us fighting against it, to cooperate with it. Well, I guess I'd mentioned this earlier. I wrote an aside, kind of like, we already said this, but does it mean God's never in a bad mood, never gets up on the wrong side of the bed, continually, daily, he's agape love. He never stops loving us, even when we're guilty of terrible sins. And that's kind of the same way that we as parents, with our own kids, they sin. They do things that are wrong. We get upset with them. We're disappointed, or however you want to describe it. We don't like their sin, but we still love them as they're one of your kids. I realize there may be some that would go to the extent of saying, I'm disowning you for whatever reason. But it doesn't change anything. On paper, they're still your kids, right? And we don't stop loving them because they do something we don't like. And I thought, you brought up a couple things I guess I've never thought about. When he talks about different things about God, you know, God's spirit. And he's light, he's love. Well, if we're going to be like God, can we be spirit? I get on the scale, it doesn't look like I'm a spirit. Need to lighten things up here a little bit. And I thought it was funny what he said here about light. There are some people who think they're pretty bright, but they're not light. So the only way that we can copy God, to imitate him, to follow his example, is to love like he does. And, you know, we're getting kind of an overdose of, I won't get too far off into that, especially since this is going on all over the world. You know, Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry. God loves all of us, no matter what color you are. You know, Christ died for everybody, not just a particular people group, right? And he wants us to have those same kind of qualities. to copy him. And as you mentioned out, one of the first fruit. Now, you know, it might be a tie, okay, and one of them's got to be first. But when you think about the fruits of the Spirit, those qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives to develop, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, okay, or patience. Love comes first. That's one of the things he really wants it to be there. And if we get that there, you know, some of these other things probably fall into place. You know, if we're loving like we're supposed to, then maybe we're more joyful than we would be otherwise. We experience a bit more peace than we would. A bit more patience, right? So it's a bit like a domino thing, you know. And we can't just go around that one. Skip that one and go on to the next one. Well, no, he wants us to experience it in our own lives. And we do experience God's love towards us. And when it's kind of like something's going to take some time in your life. You got to shift priorities. You don't get any more hours in the day or week or anything else. Okay, something else has got to drop off if we're going to have room to do this. Well, it's kind of that way with love. If we're going to make room for love in our lives, and love's going to require, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some energy. If we're not just looking at ourselves, me, myself, and I, but I'm looking at other people, and what can I do to help them? What can I do? What it would be for in their best interest? If that's going to take some time and energy. And so I look at it this way. Okay, we're moving love in. It's going to take up some space, and there's some other things that maybe need to take a hike. And he mentions some of those. Selfishness, bitterness, prejudice, hatred, gossip. You know, we need to clear out some of that stuff to make room for the good stuff. I was doing some of that here this morning. I'm a saver. If you're around me, you know that. I save too much stuff. But I have lots and lots of emails. And it takes a lot of time to sort through all this stuff to get rid of. So and it says you're getting close to your limit here. Okay, so I got to get rid of some stuff here. So I click the little button there that shows which the biggest ones are. So if I can get something that's got, I don't know, I get my kilobytes and megabytes and everything kind of mixed up, but I get something with a really big number to get rid of that, that'll make up for a whole lot of little stuff. Okay, so I'm working on the big numbers to get rid of that first so I can make room for more stuff. I mean, isn't that what people do? You've been sorting and throwing, and you know, during your lockup, and you take it all and you dump it off at Goodwill. And what does that do? It provides a hole in the corner of your garage. So that when you go buy a garage sale, you gotta stop and look around. Oh, I got room for that now. It's kind of like that. You know, I get rid of some stuff, and somebody's got a little kid's slide out on the curb. Alex would love that. And it'll fit in my car. So I'm hauling it home. Well, he's not there all summer, but it's sitting in my front yard waiting for him whenever he gets there. You know? Yeah, well, anyway, maybe there's some stuff that we need to get rid of out of our lives so that we can make room for the love quality that God wants to put in there. Well, we're going to stop there, and we'll pick up the next two, Lord willing, here next time. Maybe something there we can work on, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that your love is not like a light switch. It's kind of on and off, or like in a thunderstorm, it kind of blinks at us. It's always the same. Not that you love our sin, but you love the sinner. And Lord, I pray that you might help us to be able to separate those two as we work with other people. We may not like everything there is about somebody, their habits or whatever, but help us to love them anyway, just like you love us, and to pray for them. Try to be encouragement to them. And they may or may not appreciate it. They may or may not love us back. It helps to do the right thing. And if people are mean to us in one way or another, help us not to respond the same way. Pray that you give us, help us to think about this as we go through the week. You'll probably give us some opportunities to test that out. Help us to pass the test. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. All right, thanks for coming. Lord willing, on Sunday school, we'll be showing a patriotic film. The problem was, they're all so long, so I kind of have to pick out 45 minutes. Okay, this will work for us, but I'm trying to balance things out. You know, They're tipping over Jefferson and spray painting George Washington and all these guys, you know, knocking them off their horse. But if we look at what they did, I mean, they're not sinless. Okay? You can gripe about them having slaves, but we're indebted to these guys as Christian men for some of the work that they did to begin our country, to get it started out by, and we need not to forget that. And so maybe that would just give us a little sample of that, since everything else is taken away. Probably put them aside. And maybe I still will if I have time tomorrow. That's usually the last thing I do around here. So if you see that sign, oh, I never changed it. That's the last on the list. You know, Happy Independence Day. And this probably won't fit. But maybe fireworks next year. I don't know what will fit on the sign, but maybe, who knows, maybe life will be back to normal, whatever that is. I hope normal's not this. Okay, but we'll see. Thanks for coming. Lord bless you. All right.